So we are back to Eggs Sunny Side Up, part two, the during chapter. Now, this is probably the most upbeat I think I've sounded in the past 12 days, 11 days. I don't even know how many days it's been. God. It's been a few days, many, very many days of injections and hormones and scans and chocolate. A lot more chocolate, and then less chocolate, and then it became more savory based, and like a lot of crisps. I've had a lot of Pringles. I like Pringles. It's been quite funny. It's been funny, but it's been tiring. And throughout this episode, we're going to really dive into as much detail as I can possibly give, to the point of probably boring the life out of you. And yeah, in the previous episode. Just a quick refresher. We went into the detail of how and why and when and just everything that kind of played a part into me freezing my eggs or deciding to freeze my eggs. And why not before? Why now? Why not next year? And I think it was as much detail as I could possibly give you. Again, without running the risk of boring you lifeless. And it was cool. The feedback has been really, it's not really lame. It's been really heartwarming. It's been really wonderful just to hear the way that people have responded to it. I've had people who, I've seen countless times over the past few years, and as soon as I posted it, people were like, "Oh, I did it last year," or "I did it 2 years ago," and blah blah. And I'm like, "But dude, we sat, we had coffee, we had drinks. Like, why don't you tell me? That would have been cool to know something like that." And it's just really interesting because then it's also unlocked a whole bunch of other people who have been like, "Oh, I really wish I did. I really want to do it. Should I do it? How do I do it? Where do I do it? When should I do it?" And all these sorts of things. So it's been, yeah, just. It's been a lot, and I think in the preparation of starting the hormones, even during the hormones, the way that people have almost somewhat got going through messages has kept me going quite well, to be honest. So thank you. It's been really cool. There were a couple of things which I found quite interesting. Like somebody once said to me that, "Oh, but you're fine until you're in your 40s." And that's come up a few times. And the only thing that I've kind of really wanted to say in addressing that is that thank you for listening and thank you for sharing, but you kind of have missed the point. Because the point which I tried to kind of really highlight in the previous episode is that it's not about my biological clock. It's not about eggs aging and this and that and whatever. It is about me, and it is about what's important to me and when, and what I need to do to ensure what I want and when I want it. If what I wanted was different, then yeah, cool. I might wait till I'm in my 40s. I may not feel the need to do this now or whatever. So I just really want that to be the case. And please don't take it as a lecture of everybody should do this. The younger, the better. If you don't do it now, you're an idiot. Like, that's in no means what I'm saying. And so, yeah, I know I've got a few years. I know. And thank you for making me feel less old. Because that is a nice sentiment to know that I'm not as old as I like to think I am sometimes. But it's about you as an individual. It's about me and what I want and how I'm going to do that. So with that in mind, we're just following the same sort of format as last time. It's a Q&A still with my friend who is writing these articles in Sri Lanka, which has been so much fun as well. But yeah, so on that note, let's just dive straight in. So for the first question, I was asked to describe how I prepared myself, both physically and emotionally, mentally, let's say, for this process. And there's a lot of different things that one can be doing kind of behind the scenes just to kind of support the process. Now, quite frankly, the way that things were told to me, or I read about, or a friend mentioned just by passing, these are all things that if you didn't do them, it's really not the end of the world. Like how much is actually affects the outcome? Who knows, really? I mean, I don't know. I'm sure the medical people can go into a lot more detail than that. But my point is that for me, I wasn't sat down and told, you have to do this, you have to do that. And a whole big list of do's and don'ts. There were do's and don'ts, which we'll get to shortly, but that was more like for during. To talk about how I physically prepared myself, one of the main things is, and I think we all must have seen it, or we know friends who've been trying, and things like folic acid, which you hear, they're somewhat like buzzwords of supplements that that people take and whatever. These are all really strongly recommended to take whenever you start to decide. I mean, to be honest, I think that if you were taking it for a whole year beforehand, it's all the better, right? So in Boots and in any sort of pharmacy, you may have seen like Pregnacare, which is the brand. I mean, that's the brand that I got. But Pregnacare is a supplement that you can take. And again, like I was told to go get Pregnacare. I had no idea that there were all these different versions of Pregnacare. Why would I? I haven't tried to have a baby. I've not conceived. I've not been pregnant. I've not given birth. I've not been breastfeeding. So I don't need to know that there's a version of Pregnacare for each stage of that. Now I do. So I was stood in the pharmacy talking to the lady who was struggling to understand what I was looking for. I was like, I just need Pregnacare. And she was like, yeah, but are you pregnant? I was like, no, I'm freezing my eggs. And so she's like, but which one do you need then? I'm like, I don't know. Just what are they? So I then managed to find the one I wanted, which is the for the you're supposed to take before conception. I think it's literally called Pregnacare before conception. And it's one simple tablet. It's made up of folic acid, zinc, and a whole bunch of other nutrients. And it all just helps, it supports, it enhances, it just kind of plays in. And this is it's just like a really little thing. Every day when I was having my lunch, I would just have my little tablet sitting next to my plate, and then as soon as I finish eating, I just take it, and it just became so run of the mill. And it was, I'm sure it helped, in whatever way, whatever it's designed to do. That was probably the main thing that I think I had to actively add into my life prior to the whole procedure. I think personally, because I am somebody who works out quite a lot, knowing that when I was going on the injections, I wouldn't be able to do the same sort of workouts I do. Like I do a lot of spinning, I do a lot of weight training, and all of that. And I was advised by the nurses to just kind of steer away from it a little bit. Try and avoid it as much as possible, which, I am mildly obsessed with my morning workouts, but in this part of life, with what I'm doing, it's a couple of weeks, it's not the end of the world if I can't work out. And so beforehand, I did work out a lot. I was aware that I was going to feel gross and bloated and overweight, which I think we talked about a lot last time, that was always a big concern of mine. It was feeling really horrible about myself, which I do, but more on that later. So I did that a lot. I did a lot of working out, and the other thing that I did, because a friend had mentioned to me that water is your best friend during this process. So a friend had mentioned to me that during it, you just have to drink a hell of a lot of water, like just nonstop, keep jogging as much as possible. So kind of in my own head, I thought, let me just start trying to work that in to my routine now. Let's try and introduce this so that when it starts, it's not like my whole world has just suddenly changed. A lot of you might think I'm massively overthinking it. Quite frankly, I don't care. This is how I needed to go about things to prepare myself for it. I think from when I actually decided to do this, when I said, let's, crack on, and when it actually started, it just, in hindsight, oh my God, it was so long. Like, it just, the time just went by so slowly. And I think that by the time by the time I got my period, it was just a relief because I think the monotonous, like, just waiting, 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 it was really getting to me. Emotionally, I do think that that took it out of me. And I was kind of a bit fed up before I even started, which is not a good thing, obviously, because the whole process is quite it's quite draining on the body. So yeah, unfortunately, I was quite bleh, let's say, if that makes sense beforehand. But I was excited, and I think that in hindsight, my anxious feelings were actually good. They were those really good, excited. I was just really excited to start, and like so I would feel like anxious about it, but that's just because I wanted to just crack on, and I wasn't being able to. So yeah, I mean the morning I got my period, it was a Thursday morning, and I was leaving. I was going to go work from a coffee shop that day, and did I go to the gym that morning? No, I did not go to the gym that morning because I felt a bit ugh. I love these words that I'm using, right? I got my period. I messaged my mum, literally just saying woohoo in big capital letters. No other context. She knew entirely what I meant. And then replied back with an equal woohoo. And then I was like, calling the clinic right now. And so then I called the clinic and I was like, I got my period, yay! Was like, this is just the weirdest conversation to be having with somebody. But I mean, that's what I mean about anxious in a good way. And then, yeah, and then booked in next day, everything started, which was super cool and it was really fun. And so, yeah, those are the main things that I would just say is how I got to my, let's call it, I mean, it's day two of your cycle when you have your first scan, but let's call that my day one. That building myself up to that was a lot of just like twiddling my thumbs, a lot of just like, oh, come on. And I think that played a part into my period being delayed. Because when there was so much emphasis on just start, just start, just start, just start, it kind of always just does the opposite. And every time my mum would say to me, have you got your period yet? And I'd be like, every single time you ask me this, you delay it by one day. So let's just blame mum. It was all her fault, basically. So, following on from that, I was then asked about the support of my loved ones during this whole thing, and I think I have talked a lot about that in the previous ones. I do talk about my friends a lot and my mom and all of that. So when I say this, I don't want it to sound like I'm showing off, and I really don't mean it to. It is just that I am extremely fortunate to have the amount of support that I do. I was, I was talking everyone's ear off, like left, right, and center, about this subject, just constantly, like it was all I could talk about. And I think tying into what I was saying to the previous question, that I was just so anxious to start. So in that anxiety and that anxiousness, I was very limited in my conversation. But what was so nice about it was that even though that was all I could really talk about, it's equally all my friends could really talk about. They had so many questions and concerns for their own, for their own little databases of information that they're creating in their head. So it was really wonderful. And I would wake up in the morning, especially that week that my period started. Every morning I would wake up and at least one friend had messaged me like, have you got your period yet? Has it started yet? Are you doing the hormones yet? I had one friend even said I'd gone to the theatre with a friend during that week. And one friend even said to me, she was like, I've never actually been so invested in a friend's menstrual cycle before. And it's just so funny because as a result, I've become so invested in my friend's menstrual cycles. And just, we keep talking about how different all of our cycles are. And, that then ties into this whole process because, what I went through, what I experienced with the hormones, with the actual everything that I had to, that I felt, and the tiredness, the headaches, whatever. I mean, for somebody else, it could be completely different. And then equally, my general cycle, I get horrific period pains. Like I get cramps in my I always say my womb hurts. But like I get really bad pain, and I've got friends who don't feel any pain. I've got friends who have back pain. I have friends who, get headaches. I get friends, like everybody is just really, really different. And so I think being able to talk about it amongst my community of people, it's just so interesting. I've just found all of it so funny, like just so intriguing. And then obviously it's needless to say that, mum has been non-stop, just around constantly. She came to every appointment with me, even though I kept saying, don't bother, it is so boring. It's literally the scans that I've had so far have been go in, lie down, have my ultrasound. It's not really much point mum being there for that, followed by sit down with the nurse, have a chat, and go home. So fine, the chat is useful for mum to be around, just because, especially with just in terms of administering the injections, I just, especially for that first appointment, I relished having a second set of ears in that, just because I've never done anything like that before. So she was just obviously non-stop. My brother and sister-in-law, like constantly just asking how I feel. Not physically how I feel, but even just how I feel about the process. Like what I'm feeling about the actual everyday, like how it's all going. And then I think like even my male friends, I've got quite a few male friends, who I've never talked about my period to them before. Like, why would I? It's not that, I mean, I think it's safe to say I'm not prudish about these things, but it doesn't come up, and in this, I was making friends with guys, making plans rather with guy mates, and they would be like, oh, do you want to go, you want to get a drink this week? And I'd say like, can't, waiting for my period. And fortunately, because I've made no secret about what I'm doing, they're like, oh, so when's it going to start? And I'm like, I don't really know, to be honest. I'll keep you posted. And they're like, please do, let us know when everything kicks off. And I'm like, so weird, but how cool is that? Like, it's just really lovely. And it's yeah, it's been very amusing. Like people offering food. I mean, if they're like this, like now, what are they going to be like if I decide to have a baby? Like, I think it's just very, very lovely. And I do understand if that might be really braggy and really showy offy, and I really don't mean to be. But it's just, I think it, what I look at it as a, it's a response to my openness. The fact that I can discuss without being all like, oh my God, like, hide behind my hands kind of thing. Because I'm open, I receive openness. If I was more closed off, maybe I'd received a more closed off approach. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, I'm not changing it anytime soon because I love it. Okay, now we get to the good stuff. So now we're going to talk about my experience with the actual injections, and like how it worked, and how they actually impacted me, in my day-to-day life. So I think I may have mentioned in the last one, everything arrived, all my meds arrived beforehand, before the actual procedure started, before my period started, before I needed them. And it was really clearly labeled, like, this is in the fridge, this is not in the fridge. There was the box, I can't remember the word for it, but they give you a box to actually dispose of the needles. So you just keep storing everything in those, and then you hand that into the clinic, at the end of it all. It was so weird because, like, even in the time building up to it, I would look at my fridge every night, like when I'd be making dinner, and there'd just be this like line of like this whole row of just boxes of hormones, which is quite amusing. So as I think I mentioned earlier, so the day I got my period, I called up the clinic, and I was like, woo, yay, let's do this. And so they booked me in straight away for the next morning. I think it was like 10 a.m. or something. So that morning, so that was day two of my cycle. So my mum came with me, as I've mentioned, and it was, I'm glad she did, because it was a lot of information, not in a criticizing way, but I think when you do this every day, i.e. for the nurses, it seems really, and it is now that I've been doing it for all these days, administering these injections are so simple. But that first time that you hear it, it's just a bit like, wait, what? Like, slow down. But it was really not that bad. She sat me down and took out the pen, and it's like, if you've ever seen, like, it was really familiar to me because my grandparents both had diabetes, and so I used to watch my grandfather inject his insulin with this same looking pen. Doesn't make it any easier because I've never touched a pen, I've never experienced it myself, it's not like I ever administered it to them. But it was still, it was at least familiar to look at. She talked me through like how to put the needle on. So you've got the pen on its own, and then you've got hundreds of needles in the box with it. So you would literally just open it, screw the needle on, and then you adjust the dosage. So with these particular pens, it was a dosage thing. So then I put it to 300 because that was the dosage that I was supposed to have. And then little things, something that I never thought of. I had to do these injections once on my mom after she'd had surgery, as the blood clotting ones. And you pinch at the stomach and then you inject. But what the nurse told me, which I thought was really cool, and actually kind of worked because I was bruiseless. But when you kind of pinch it, you pinch your lower abdomen, and then you put the needle in, and it's not all dramatic like in Grey's Anatomy. You don't like have this massive swing and just go doof. Like, you just very gently and very easily just insert the needle. And then she said, instead of holding, which I think we all kind of, I mean, I thought didn't think twice about it. If she hadn't told me, I would have absolutely have not done this. But you pinch. You inject, and then before you actually start administering the drug, let go, and then administer it, because she said that by pinching, holding the pinch longer while injecting it, that could lead to more bruising. I never tried it the other way, so I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I did the first night by accident. So that first night was my first one, and she was so clear and concise. There was nothing else that she could have told me differently, short of her literally making me do it right there in front of her. So she was as clear as could be. She told me to expect headaches, with the hormones, which is could be, a possibility. And she said drink loads and loads and loads of water. So I went home, and I did that first one, and I kind of stood over it on that first night, like, oh God. And I was nervous. I'll be entirely honest. I wasn't entirely sure I knew what I was doing. I did not feel remotely qualified to be injecting a drug into my system. And it all sounds really dramatic, but now, I mean, having been doing this for 10, 11, 12 days, something like that. It's really not a big deal. The first night I did it, I did everything, like I set up the needle fine, because that was slow and easy, and nothing was really happening. There was two parts where I felt that I messed up a little bit. One of which was I didn't let go. So like when I pinched and I injected, I administered without letting go. And I mean, and I didn't bruise. I had a little bruise, but nothing huge. And then the other thing that I did was, once you've administered it and you've pushed the syringe all the way down, then you're supposed to hold it there for 5 to 10 seconds. Now that I didn't, because also it was a bit of a panic. Like my mum was standing there watching over me, and I was like, ah, what am I doing? And so I just kind of pulled it out really quickly. But fact is, nothing went wrong. Everything was fine. So far, touch wood, everything is going really smoothly and they're growing really nicely. And after that day, every injection I've done ever since has been smooth sailing. I did a couple in front of friends, because my time that she'd said, and I was about 7 p.m. every night, and that did kind of like interfere with a few social plans. So one night I was at a friend's house, and I actually took everything over with me. I had to carry it on ice. I don't know if that was entirely necessary. I think it could have been out of the fridge for a couple of hours and it wouldn't have been make or break, but I didn't really want to risk it. So I carried ice packs and I had it in a little bag. And as soon as I got there, it went straight into her fridge. And then I said to her, I'll go to a quiet corner and do it. But she was like, no, show me, show me, show me. So I did it in front of her, I did it in front of another friend at my house one night. Which was quite amusing. It was one of those things I noticed with both of them that they kind of didn't really want, they wanted to look away, but they couldn't. I get it. I think I would have been the same. I wouldn't have been able to take my eyes off it. I think a part that I wasn't really prepared for, and I wish that if I could go back, I wish I could have mentally prepared myself for this a little bit more, was I never really thought about the lack of caffeine. I mean, it was obvious. It wasn't surprising when the nurse said to me on that first day, that it's low caffeine and, try and avoid coffee and whatever. I didn't even realize I drank that much coffee. Apparently, I do. That first weekend was the worst because I think number one, it's obviously a bit of a shock to the system. Something new is coming in. And number two, I've gone from not even thinking about how many cups of tea or coffee I have in a day to then suddenly being like, no more. So initially, I thought, yeah, absolutely fine. I'll do no caffeine. What's the big deal? And by the second day, I was like, well, maybe I can have one cup of tea in the afternoon. Maybe I can have one cup of tea in the morning. I was knackered. I was so tired. I would have to have a nap every day for about an hour and a half. It's only in the past few days that I think I've been able to cut that nap. I've more than anything, I think the part that, I mean, the tiredness, fine, it's one thing, but it's the brain fog. Like, I'm so slow at the moment. And not to like toot my own horn, but I'm not a slow person. Like, fine, I might not be book smart. I might not be, like Cambridge material. But I am quick. Like I have quick. I'm quick to get stuff. Like I don't need something spelled out to me. And then I remember one day I had the most ridiculous conversation with a friend where he was telling me about somebody who was just gossiping about general life antics, and he was like, "Oh, so and so's cousin," and I said, "It can't be so and so's cousin because so and so's brother isn't married and doesn't have kids." And he was like, "Yes, so?" And I was like, "Yeah, so it can't be her cousin." And he's like, "But those are two very different things. One isn't a niece or a nephew, and the other is a cousin." And no joke, for 5 minutes, I was just like, "Huh?" And I hate it. I don't like being slow. Dumbness is something that really infuriates me with people, like in general. I know it's really harsh of me to say, but I'm just gonna say it. So me having this brain fog has been a bit of a shock because I don't think I was expecting it. So yeah, I suppose, I mean, if that could be a warning for anybody who's gonna do it, maybe don't schedule any big meetings or make some huge life decisions during this time. Maybe, possibly, just, not that I did make any life decisions during this time, but just make sure you don't. So the next scan that one has after this first one, so that's on day two. The first scan is day two, and then 4 days later, and that's just factoring in weekend. I don't think it's 4 days for everybody, but mine just so happened to be on a Friday. So my next appointment was a Tuesday morning. I went in, it was so quick, get up on the table, pants off. Ultrasound happens, the lady just told me that, that we're checking the size of the follicles, and that's what they do every single time. And so I was seeing which parts she was measuring. There were just these like black holes on the scan on the screen, and for when I saw the nurse afterwards, she just basically said, we're not really, they're not big enough to start the introduce the next injection, so go home and crack on. So I went, carried on. And then the next scan was 2 days after that. So at that point, we were looking good, and they were at the size that they wanted them to be. And so she showed me the next injection. Now the next injection wasn't the same as these pens. They were these pre-filled, like kind of like the more classic looking injection. It's what I associate with an injection, not like these pens. So she did say that this one will be a little bit more painful. The pen one, the evening 7 p.m. one, that it didn't really hurt. I mean, it didn't hurt at all, really. I think maybe whenever I pull out the pen, like the injection, I would feel it a bit then. But I mean, it's totally bearable, barely noticeable even. I'd go as far as to say the morning one. That's when I was a bit like, "Ooh, hello." But she pre-warned me that on that one, and she said that to expect some redness afterwards and a lingering feeling afterwards. That is all true. Simply, you do feel it, and that one was to be 7 a.m. So that I think when I started doing that one, that's when I think my brain fog got to its worst. That was on the Thursday when I started, and that weekend I just didn't do anything. I couldn't really get off the sofa. I just chilled out the entire time, and I was just completely pooped of everything. I did have plans lined up, and I would just cancel everything. I did need a nap during the day, and all of that. So I was just by this point as well, because it had been over a week now, I think I was getting a bit fed up. I was very much like, okay, come on now, let's just keep this going and then just finish now, finish. So they basically told me that loosely we're looking at my next appointment, was on the Monday afternoon, and providing everything is to the size they want it to be, then I'll be administering my trigger injection, which is 36 hours before the procedure. So that would be my last injection. So that on Monday after my scan, they decided they wanted one more day of hormone goodness, and just to let my follicles grow a little bit more. So I had to do an extra one of the regular 7 p.m. one on Monday night, my usual Tuesday 7 a.m. morning, and then Tuesday night last night was when they basically said trigger. Now this is quite a precise thing, and I've noticed that from every message I've been getting on the app, and all of that, that the way to actually ensure that this has to be 36 hours before the procedure. So my procedure is scheduled for 12 p.m. tomorrow, and at midnight last night, or this morning, whatever you want to call it, it's been very confusing when it's come to setting alarms for that one. But that's when I had to set it for. I had to do it. So this last night was my last injection, thank God. It's been quite a relief to have the last one. I had to set an alarm for like 11:55, 11:57, 11:59, just to make sure, because it was really scary. It was like, if you're off by like a minute, it's like, whoa, game over. I mean, that's how I felt. Obviously, it's not the case. And then that's that. That has been the entire journey. Now I am continuing to twiddle my thumbs. Fortunately, I don't have any injections tonight. And tomorrow, we'll go in there and get this out, and we'll be finished finally. The next question basically asked me to elaborate on any unexpected challenges or moments of resilience that I faced during this process. I think I've talked about that quite a lot already, so I won't blab on for too long about this. but just to kind of repeat what I've said, brain fog. I was not expecting the brain fog, and I think that has been the biggest challenge that I wasn't expecting. And fortunately, the week of the procedure, I mean, I was not too sure which day it was going to be. But from the moment I knew, I'd always kind of kept that week relatively free. And that's, you know, fortunately, given I work for myself and everything, that's been quite easy for me to manage. But I did kind of find that the work that I was doing all of last week, all of, you know, these past few days, I was just second guessing a lot of it, and I was just a bit unsure as to and sort of all of it, which has been quite sad because I don't, as I've mentioned before, I just don't like being slow. So that's been quite unexpected. I think another part which kind of taps into my basic nature of being quite a controlling person, not knowing what day I'm going to be having this procedure has been quite bizarre. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a challenge, but and it is somewhat expected because I kind of knew this obviously right from the start, but not knowing, not being able to like organize, not being able to just grab a coffee with a friend because it could be Wednesday, it could be Thursday, it could be Friday, I am by nature somebody who is quite organized. I love a schedule. I thrive off a schedule. I like spontaneity and I like last minute plans. But something like this, like something quite important and quite impactful on my schedule, to not know what day it's going to happen has been really bizarre. And then finally, I think that, and maybe if I'd have recorded this a week ago, I wouldn't even mention this. But as the day looms, the sedation is proving somewhat a bit challenging in my brain. I've never been sedated. I've never had a GA. I know that GA is obviously substantially worse, but I've never been sedated before, and I think that is causing a little bit of nervousness. Everybody has reassured me that I'm going to love it, and all of that. But again, I think it's probably tied into my controlling nature that I'm going to be in a room full of strangers. And yes, okay, they're all, medically qualified and extremely trustworthy people. But like, weird, I'll just be completely knocked out. And then, I mean, in the completely silly, irrational way, I've watched far too many horror films. I love horror films. It's possibly one of my favorite genres of cinema. And in that, what if there's a big apocalypse? While I'm out, and it's only 20 minutes or whatever, I'm not out for very long, but that's all it takes. I mean, like, what if something, the world stops working while I'm out, and then I wake up and just like, yeah, okay, now I'm literally talking about a film, so I'm gonna stop. But yeah, I'd say that I like the fact that my answer to this question is quite short and concise, because there weren't any. I think, again, controlling person led me to kind of cover all bases quite early on as to what to expect. So I wasn't really, there was nothing unexpected, really, I suppose. And that's it. In terms of resilience, not really much resilience involved. Like, it's just something that needs to be done, and it's being done. So now I'm asked to shed some light on the financial aspects of my decision and the advice that I have for those who might be considering it. So I will start off by saying what made me so happy after I released the last episode was the amount of feedback I got about one part in particular, which I think is, I'm so glad it did because it is just, it's such a basic concept, but it resonated with so many people. Is when I compared this process to car insurance. And just the fact that we take out insurance policies without thinking twice, because that's just a part of life that we were told to do, that we have to do, and if we don't do, there'll be consequences. So just to kind of tap into that concept a little bit more, having had the feedback and after having a few conversations with friends about it did make me kind of wonder that, like, had we, when we were learning in school, when we were in biology, and we were learning about the female reproductive system and how and when and why, and all that stuff, how babies are made, how you go, all the stuff that we all know very, very well. But if somebody had said to us at one point then that, like, now there's also an option that, you can freeze, and this is a process involved in freezing, and these are the hormones, and these hormones are the same hormones that come into effect just before your period starts. And if it just became one little tiny lesson in biology, when you're at school, I wonder if the thinking around, oh, it's very expensive, I wonder how much that would change. It is expensive. There is no ifs, buts, maybes about that. I'm not underplaying the cost because, of course, it is something you have to consider very seriously. But I do wonder if we'd talked about it more, if when we were younger it was normalized a lot more, if it wasn't that freezing your egg means that you're drastically single and there's no scope of getting married and having kids yet. The fact is that is not the case. They are two separate things. Freezing your eggs and dating somebody or getting married or finding a partner or, having a baby with your best friend or, whatever situation is the one that is for you. They're very independent, The point is you can it shouldn't all be tied into one like that, in my opinion. So it would be nice. It would have been nice. And when I have children, I will 100% totally, have conversations about freezing eggs and about options and about, that it's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that you're getting old and left on the shelf or anything like that. But again, it's a very expensive thing. And it's really easy for me to say all of this. But I'm not aware of everybody's situation. I don't know what everybody else is from. For me, for where I am in life, for what I want in my future, this decision was a no-brainer for me. And that's what it's got to come down to. So my only advice is you've got to look at what is important for your future. That's it. Just if it's a thing, if it's something that you want to take by the reins and have control over, go for it. If you don't, cool. But it's just each to their own, and that's just the way life is. So finally, to kind of wrap up this drawing segment, which quite frankly, recording this has taken the life out of me, and I am pooped. But finally, I was asked what advice or insights can I share with individuals who may be contemplating egg freezing today based on my experiences and learnings. Now, again, from the first episode, the previous episode that I made about this subject, I said it then, I'll say it again, I'll say it in this one, I'll say it in the next one. Get a fertility check. Like it's just that's the only advice that I can give you is if you look if you're sure that this is not for you, that it's not something that you want to do, it's not part of your current plan, don't do it. Obviously, goes without saying. If you're absolutely sure that this is what you want to do, go and do it. Crack on. But if you were like me and that you weren't sure and you've been umming and ahhing and you've been back and forth and all of that, if you just weren't sure, then get the check. Because as cliched as it is, knowledge is power. And sometimes the tests are what will make the decision for you. Now, again, in my situation, that wasn't even the case. My tests showed that I'm good and I've got a whole year to kind of figure this stuff out. And then, my whole egg production will start to go down and blah, blah, blah. And, all of that is quite, it was helpful, but it was just after the test. I just thought, you know what? Let's just do it. And it was doing the test that just like let me get there. So again, the only thing that I can share is if you're not sure, again, if you're sure, please do not take it as me trying to force you into something that you don't want to do. Like I'm not being preachy. I'm not saying everybody has to do this. This is the best thing ever. Like I'm not trying to start an egg freezing cult or anything like that. But what I am saying is that if you're on the fence, then just have a look, see what's going on. And the other like little piece of advice that I would give, which might seem a little contradictory to my whole be open, share, talk, blah, blah, blah. But you have to remember that everybody is different. And what can quite often happen is that, you're super open and you're sitting there talking to somebody and they come along and say, oh yeah, I did it and I got 50 eggs. That is a drastic exaggeration. I don't think it's possible for anybody to get 50 eggs before people start jumping on me about that. I'm being dramatic. that somebody comes along and says, they got X amount of eggs and they're super braggy about it. And then you go and do it and you got Y. You only got Y amount of eggs, which is substantially less than what they got. That's totally cool. Like, that's awesome. Because the fact is that you went and did it, and that's all that matters. The amount is obviously going to be so different. Likewise, if you're sitting and two people are doing it at the same time, and one person's like, "Oh, I don't have any feelings. I feel absolutely fine. I could run a marathon tomorrow if I wanted to." And then the person next to them's like, "I'm so tired. I cannot get out of bed." Totally fine as well. But being open does not mean that you have to then like compare yourself to everybody else's. I mean, like, I know, like, for a lot of my friends before who've done it, no one ever told me about the tiredness, and like maybe they didn't have it. I don't care. I don't care if I'm weird or people find it like, "Well, that doesn't seem right. You shouldn't be tired." I really don't care. I know that I'm tired, and in all of my scans so far, that my follicles are growing really nicely. The doctors and the nurse are really happy with the progress that I'm making, and I'm scheduled to tomorrow for my procedure. Why do I care if my friend was not tired at all for the whole 2 weeks? Why do I care that another friend didn't have a single headache for the whole 2 weeks? I really don't. So the only thing to always remember is that whether it's your period, whether it's you freezing eggs, whether it's you being pregnant, whether it's anything, everybody's bodies and systems are so different that it is never going to be the same. So just because you're not feeling what somebody else has said that they're feeling, don't panic. There is no one size fits all to any of this. And that's it. That's all I can really say, because there have been moments you are shut up with hormones. Like, I cried the other day in the last episode of The Big Bang Theory, and it's making me start to tear up a little bit right now, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, when no spoilers, but just the last episode of The Big Bang Theory made me cry buckets. I don't care. I'm saying it, I did it, and that's just the way it is. And it's just you're full of hormones. It's tiring. It's different, it's new, it's unusual. Like, as I said, there's no one size fits all. And that is that, my friends. That is all the detail that I can possibly give you, I think, regarding the whole process of what I'm feeling, what scares me, what doesn't scare me, what it's been like. If it's something that you're considering, I've done my best to kind of share advice. I will just say one more thing. Water, drink all the water that you possibly can, because you are just, I was just thirsty all the time. I think it's super important just to remember, and I don't mean this in a criticizing way against other people who I may have spoken to over the past years, really, about this subject. But I have kind of noticed people have a tendency to kind of really play down the procedure, and make it seem not a big deal. And it isn't. It's 20 minutes. It's a day procedure. It's absolutely fine. Like, it's not a big, well, people make it seem like it is not a big deal. It's a huge deal. Honestly, if you ask me, I think it's a big deal. And maybe tomorrow when I'm done, maybe at that point I'll feel differently. Maybe I won't think of it, maybe I won't think it's a big deal. But in my head right now, I know it's not long. I know everybody I know who's gone through it has been fine. But there is a sedation. You'll have a cannula in your arm. You have a team, you have a nurse, a doctor, an anesthesiologist. You have to fast for 8 hours beforehand. You have to have an escort to take you home because you're not fit to go home yourself. I live 5 minutes away from the clinic, and I'm not allowed to walk home. It's literally 5 minutes away, and I have to be in a car or a taxi or something. Now, that means it is a big deal. You can't say something like that is not a big deal. And if you are afraid by that, That's absolutely fine. Like, it's completely okay to be scared. It's completely okay not to be scared. But one thing that I would say, I blab on and on about showy-offy way about how wonderful people are and the support that I've got. But I would say my one criticism, my one thing where I've just been a bit like, all right, shut up, is a bit when people try and make it seem like, oh, it's not a big deal. Or, people who haven't even done it, who've got a friend that's done it, and they go, oh yeah, when so-and-so did it, they didn't have a problem at all. It's not a big deal. And it's just like, shut up. I'm not really asking you, am I? And that's the only part of it where I would just say again, head down, do what you gotta do, feel what you gotta feel. Nothing you feel in any of this is wrong. It's you and your journey, and you're doing what you want to do. So everybody else, frankly, irrelevant. I'd be surprised if people still listen to me after I basically keep saying that everybody's stupid. I'm not saying everybody's stupid. Anyway, wish me luck. I will go in for my procedure tomorrow. I will be home. I will be fine. Mummy's going to make me lots of food, and I think I'm going to watch the OC. I think that's kind of going to be my show of choice. Doesn't involve me thinking because I've seen it about 20,000 times. Haven't seen it in about 10 years, so I'm excited. And I've got paracetamol, I've got water, and that's it. That's all I need. And send me a message if you want, at chai_with_shy. It'd be nice to have some messages of support. And yeah, I look forward to talking to you afterwards from a totally different viewpoint. Being done, being finished, and I wonder. I don't know. I really don't know what, like, how I'm going to feel, what's going to be the situation. So, listen out for the next episode, which hopefully should be out soon. And thank you for listening.